Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our teleseminar this evening called How to Feel Vibrant with Raw Foods. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Karen Nola. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Karen a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted through our website prior to the call. Now, I have to admit that the whole area of raw foods has held a great deal of fascination for me for quite a while, and I'm actually very, very excited about this topic in particular. Now, I guess initially with the whole raw food way of being, for me personally, there was certainly a lot of judgment around why anyone would want to eat exclusively raw food. It just was a concept that I actually couldn't get my head around and thought it was definitely part of me that thought it was crazy and unpractical, and lots of different thoughts and anxieties popped up at the thought of actually pursuing that path for myself. And I guess it came to the start of this year, and I'd actually, as the raw food phenomena has started to grow pace, I was actually just monitoring this internal dialogue with myself, and I just realized that I'd never really given the raw food approach to living a try, so I really wasn't in a position to cast any judgment on it whatsoever. So I guess the great thing about this call and the scheduling of this call is that it actually propelled me forward to start exploring some of my own thinking around it. And literally 2 weeks ago, I began my own exclusively raw food journey, and it's certainly been very, very interesting so far, and hopefully we'll have a chance to speak a little bit more about it during the call. Now, Karen is no stranger to the world of raw food, and this is despite having very, very humble beginnings in the food arena. By the age of 20, she actually didn't even know what an avocado was, and also her early career days was spent working in a butcher shop as well. So very, very earthy foods and limited knowledge, you could say, in terms of understanding what fresh foods and raw foods were really all about at age of 20. But since then, she's gone on a remarkable journey of personal self-discovery, and as a journey that's involved mind, body, and also spirit, and has seen her being a raw foodist and on the raw path for around 16 years now. Karen is widely regarded as one of the shining lights here in the UK in terms of putting raw food on the map. She used to run the Fresh Network before creating her own raw food and coaching and training business. And now Karen works with people all over the world and at all stages of their raw journey. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest, Karen Nola. How are you doing there, Karen?
Hi, Damien. Thank you very much for that intro. It's great to be here.
Great. Now, Karen, I just wanted to begin at the top. As I mentioned, for me personally, there was a whole lot of unanswered questions that I had around the raw food journey and actually embarking upon it. So I just thought, for people at home, I was just wondering if you could actually share what exactly is a raw food diet and what does it contain, and are there different elements of what's raw and what isn't?
Okay, sure. Well, you know, obviously it's a great question to start with, because a lot of people are like, well, what exactly is raw food? And the most common comment I get is, well, that's just carrots and apples, right? And, well, they do feature, but not massively. Basically, that I have created a list of the different raw food groups, and there's actually over 20 raw food groups, which may be a bit of a shocker to people. And, you know, I you can find those on the blog. We can give more references and resources at the end. But yes, we're looking at fruits and vegetables, but there's nuts and seeds and sprouted seeds and grains and beans, pulses, wild herbs, wild greens like dandelion, nettle even for juicing, things like that. And nowadays, thanks to the fact that raw food has become a lot more popular, there's people out there who are now making commercial raw food. So we're seeing things like flax crackers and raw chocolate bars and raw ice cream, all kinds of things coming onto the market, which even as recently as 3, 4, 5 years ago were practically unheard of. So that's very exciting. because when I started, it was very, very basic. And that was fine, actually, because I have found that keeping the food simple gets the best results. But there's still a part of, I think, every human being that still looks for novelty and stimulation through food. And so it's really nice that now there's that adjunct to the good old-fashioned fruit and veg that is really the mainstay of the raw food diet. And just the only other point I really want to make around that is that a lot of people think that there is such a thing as the raw food diet, and that's actually a complete myth. It's a bit like saying the cooked food diet and expecting someone to know what that means, because there's so many different ways to eat raw food now that seriously you could line up 10 different people who say they eat a raw food diet, and every single person of that 10 would eat completely differently to the next person. So it's really what you make it, and part of my work is helping people find the way of eating raw that works for them on a practical level, on a taste bud level, and on a personality level, because you need to find a way of eating the food that really gels with who you are and what you're about and how you like to live your life. So that's a lot of fun, helping people kind of find that out for themselves.
Great. And what was it, Karen, that actually inspired you to start exploring the raw food way?
Well, you mentioned already, I started my working career very young, at 13, in a butcher's shop, because my mother remarried and her new husband was a butcher, and it was his dream to own his own butcher's shop. So we relocated from Essex to Suffolk when I was just about to turn 13. And so I started working in that shop after school and at weekends and so on. And, of course, that opened my eyes wide open to the butchery industry. And needless to say, it's not pretty. And over the course of those 2 years that I worked there, I just became a little bit more and more and more awake and sensitive to, you know, what was going on right in front of my eyes, and began to feel increasingly uncomfortable with being a meat eater, which was, you know, the irony in that is incredible, because I didn't like vegetables, I didn't like nuts. I hardly ate any fruit. I mean, I really lived on meat and bread and chips.
Wow.
And fizzy drinks and chocolates and sweets. I mean, it's amazing I wasn't obese, because I really hardly ate anything that you would consider healthy whatsoever. And so how it all came about for me was that after those few years of being more thoughtful about meat, I came to a point where I said, that's it, I'm going vegetarian. Now, of course, because I didn't eat a wide variety of food, I had to quickly educate myself and start to like different types of food. And I was amazed, actually, at how quickly that happened, because I had really written myself off as someone who doesn't eat vegetables. And then, thanks to my stepmother, I found out that there were actually vegetables that I enjoyed eating. And slowly but surely, my diet cleaned up. The meat disappeared, actually, pretty much overnight. It was January 1992 that I ate my last piece of meat, and then I gave up fish in August 92, and, you know, haven't touched either ever since, and was no problem whatsoever. The raw food piece came in when I became so intrigued and fascinated and in awe at the changes that were going on for me personally when I let meat go and then when I let dairy go, that when I came across my first book about raw food, which is called Raw Energy by Leslie Kenton, that was when, for the first time ever, I was exposed to the concept of live food versus dead food, i.e. cooked food. And I had never looked on cooked food as any kind of negative, or, you know, the sense of calling it dead food. I mean, as soon as I read it, it made sense, but I'd never looked at it in that term before. And then when I actually started seeing food as being in two separate camps, like live and dead, that was my light bulb moment, and my first thought was, that sounds awesome, now how on earth do I do it? And that's where my journey began.
Mm. And I can imagine, I guess we are in today's era, speaking a little bit before the call there, that we are very blessed in terms of how accessible raw food has come, or become, certainly more recently. Mm. Now, I was just wondering what sort of resources were available to you 16 years ago when you actually commenced your journey.
Well, fortunately for me at the time, I was living in London, and so Planet Organic opened up around that time. So that was obviously Britain's first organic supermarket, and I actually worked there for a while. There was places like, goodness, I'm trying to remember the name now. It was in Marylebone. It was a Whole Foods store, quite a tiny place, but for me it was like a mini heaven. I'd go in there and scour the books and the produce and the healthy toiletries and all that kind of stuff. As I say, I was fortunate to be in London, but outside of London, yeah, it's good old-fashioned fruit and veg again and not too much else. And then, of course, I became more aware that there were mail order companies starting to come through, and indeed when I ran the Fresh Network, that's what we majored in, was starting to mail order specialised raw foods across the whole of England and out into Europe as well. So that really opened the doors wide open, because now there were more exotic ingredients like maca, mesquite, raw chocolate powder, agave nectars. Some of these things now are actually commonly found in Tesco, believe it or not, but at the time they were like cutting edge new things, like goji berries, all that kind of thing that is now becoming more widely known. And as I said, it was great to have this kind of new edge to raw food that was a bit more commercial and a bit more novelty, so that people could feel, I can still eat chocolate, I can still eat ice cream, I can still eat all these things, and yet have all the health and energy benefits that eating live food brings. So it's just been awesome to see that whole journey unfold, and it's only, of course, going to escalate now, because there's such a momentum around raw food now that I don't think it's ever going to go backwards.
Mm. That's great. Now, I know I've done lots of experimenting with food over the years, and I guess when I've done these different experiments, people are always fascinated about what I eat and why. And I was just wondering if you could actually share with people exactly what a day in the life of Karen Ola looks like in terms of what goes in to what you eat.
Well, what I'll share with you is that in many ways it's very similar to how I started, and then there's some key differences too, but it was the in-between part that was more interesting in many respects, and I'll kind of try and cover all of it as briefly as I can. But today, I rarely eat breakfast. Usually the first thing that I'll have will be a juice or a smoothie or some fruit, and that will be any time between 11 and 2. So I don't actually get hungry till then, and I only eat when I'm hungry. I mean, it's really impossible for me, almost painful, to eat when I'm not hungry, which, you know, I never would have believed would be possible. And then for lunch, it could be anything really that I decide I'm going to grab at the time, because I do almost back-to-back calls most days of the week. So I'll go downstairs and I'll chop up a mango or a melon, or make a quick salad and make a fairly substantial dressing to give it some oomph, and have my avocado or olives or whatever it is that I want to put in there. Sometimes it might be something like nori rolls, which is made from the sea vegetable nori that some people will be more familiar with sushi. It's the wrap around the sushi. And then I fill that with various things. So that's something a bit different. It's kind of like a sandwich equivalent in a way. It's a roll rather than a wrap. And then I might snack on a few nuts here and there, or raisins, or I might have a chocolatey type thing. I've got a personal favourite at the moment. They're called Bliss Balls. And they're kind of cacao and various other things mixed up, and I just find them really lovely. I actually mostly take them on airplane flights now, because I want something that's more substantial than fruit or veg to take on a flight. So that's my personal favourite of the day. And then in the evening, again, I really go with what my body dictates at the time, but like this evening I had a huge salad and had a pesto-type dressing on top. And then after that I had some frozen pineapple chunks, which actually was really lovely and refreshing. It's kind of like an ice cream for me in a way. I could turn it into a proper ice cream if I wanted to process it through a blender or something, but I just chose to have the chunks whole. Some evenings I'll have raw ice cream, which, again, you can get commercially these days. It goes by the name of Booja Booja, which is pretty cool. And, you know, they come in a whole range of flavours, and I'll actually whip up something that looks a bit like a Knickerbocker Glory or a sundae by layering the ice cream with strawberries and flaked almonds, and then a little bit of coconut and various other toppings and flavourings that I desire, a bit of agave syrup on top. And, you know, I swear to God, when you eat something like that, there's no way that you feel deprived in any way, shape or form. So, you know, I go with the things that I love to eat, which obviously I always advise clients do, because there's a lot of people out there who are trying to force feed themselves stuff in the name of health. And, you know, they've got one half of them saying it's a great idea and the rest of them going, oh, my God, what am I doing? So I really encourage people to go where the love is as far as their food's concerned. And I have a lot of fun with it. You know, I mentioned earlier that I really feel it's important that people get their personality and bring that to their food choices so they don't feel at odds with the way they eat. And when I used to eat cooked food, you know, I would always go for fast food choices. I would always go for things that were a little bit gimmicky or very satiating, and nothing's really changed in that regard. It's just that now my fun foods are things I whip up in a blender, or I get out the freezer, or I chop up in 5 minutes and I'm good to go. So it's just the nature of the food that's changed rather than the way I actually do it.
Great. Now, Karen, I'm going to pick up on a few interesting different things that you mentioned in there. Now, I love what you said there, when you only eat when I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the things I've always found curious about human beings, when you compare them to animals in nature, is that like animals in nature, just like you very rarely find animals that are overweight or sick when just left to eat on their own terms. They just seem to instinctually know what to eat, when to eat, and how to eat. That's in alignment with their true nature. And I just thought it was really interesting that you've really cultivated that ability to understand your own body and be in tune with it and harmony with it, and do something that possibly conventional wisdom would suggest you not do with eating at 11 o'clock rather than as soon as you get up in the morning.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I love what you said there, was the whole notion of just focusing on the foods that you love to eat as well.
Mm-hmm.
And really bringing that element into it, and also allowing your own personality to come through in your eating.
Cool. Well, the thing about eating what you love is so important, especially with raw food, because another kind of one of the urban myths that floats around raw food is that you feel really deprived. And you do if you make rules for yourself that you're not happy with. And as I said, with raw food, that there's wide open territory now with what a raw food diet means, and that's why you can highly personalize it. There are no rules as such. I mean, there's certainly good healthy guidelines, and one of the most important by far is to get a good deal of greens into your diet, but then there's so much scope around that. Some people thrive better on high fat, low fruit. Some people prefer more fruit, low fat. I mean, there's so many ways to experiment with raw food, so there's never a dull moment. I mean, it's kept my interest for 16 years. but it's just, I actually find it a very expansive way to eat. And I think a lot of people would find that sounds like a bit of a contradiction in terms. But the whole point of eating raw food, which I know we're getting into, but, you know, the big why for me is that this way of eating, when you're bringing more life force into your body, your options open up as a human being, because you have more energy, more clarity, more courage, more positivity, more connection to your spirit, which, again, I know we're going to be talking a lot about that, but this, again, is one of the messages that I'm so keen to get out there, because the common assumption, which you and I both had, and I'm sure many people on the call have had, is that raw food equals limitation, equals boring, equals bland, equals you know, why on earth would you even do that? You crazy person, you know. And there's a million reasons why, but the kicker is that you don't get to really get those reasons until you eat that way.
Mm.
So it's totally experiential, and that's why when I started doing raw food professionally, one of the most important aspects of my work was teaching the live classes, so that people could actually come and eat the food and have all those myths debunked in one fell swoop, because they would be eating every single thing that I made people would love, and then I would make a raw food pizza for lunch and that would blow people's socks off. You know, you're only limited by your imagination, your creativity, and any rules that you choose to place on yourself.
Mm. It's very interesting when you start breaking the rules around food and I guess common conditioning. And it's just been very interesting for me to just really look at that in myself, and as I mentioned in the intro, the natural judgments that came up as a result of my conditioning, and actually just allowing myself to just let those go and actually experiment and to play and to be curious about what's unfolding and what is possible when you actually modify your diet and move to a cleaner. And I just love what you said there as well, like the just bringing more life force into your body as well, and the things that actually come as a result of doing that.
Yeah, it's just, as I say, it's totally experiential. And even when I first got into raw food, I had no clue to what degree I would go with it. I just knew I wanted more of what the promise was. And when I got more of that, I really was of the mindset, why on earth don't more people know about this? Mm. It just seemed like ridiculous that here was something that, when you think about it, is the most natural way to eat in the world. I mean, we all, as a human race, we would have started off eating raw food because obviously fire wasn't discovered for a significantly long period of time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we originated with raw food, but yet in the modern world, people see raw food as cranky. Mm-hmm. And yet, as you said, you know, every other animal on the planet, apart from pets and circus animals, eat raw food.
Mm.
And, you know, when people say, oh, where do you get your protein, or, you know, how on earth could you exist on that? Well, you know, think about gorillas or lions or elephants. They're not cooking their food. They don't have a strength issue or a speed issue or whatever it is. I mean, they're, as you said, in perfect shape. And obviously there's so much more I could say about that, but at the end of the day, it is experiential. And as soon as people really start dabbling with raw food and feeling the shift and feeling the difference, which you can't conceptualize, you have to feel it in your own body to know it, that's when the light bulbs go on and you think, you know what, there's something in this. And as you said, I want to play with this and see where it goes. And you don't have to have expectations or, you know, say I'm going to eat all raw. I never set out to eat all raw food. I really could get how people could thrive on a high raw diet, but when it came to 100% raw food, I was skeptical and thought, they've got to be missing something. And when I asked myself, well, what are they missing? I was like, well, I don't know, potatoes. Like, you know, potatoes are the most nutritious food in the whole world. And I was so used to eating potatoes, I couldn't imagine life without them. So, you know, I thought they must contain something magical.
But great. It's
very possible, you know, very possible. And whereas when I got into raw food, you could probably count on two hands the number of people in the world who ate 100% raw food. Now it's volumes of people. Mm. Having said that, most people find their level with kind of three quarters. And, you know, there's no right or wrong here. What's really important is that someone feels really happy with what they're eating. And that's what my coaching is about. It's not about laying down rules and thou should or thou must. It's about helping people find the place that they want to operate from energetically to go out and live the life they want to live. And for some people that means all raw food. For others it means 75-80%. Some people 50%. Sometimes it oscillates and changes as their life changes and their understanding of who they are and what they're about and how far they want to push themselves in life changes. So, you know, food at the end of the day is energy. And the underlying philosophy of everything I do is that when we eat food, we are playing with energy and we're creating alchemy by bringing one energy form into our energetic being and seeing what happens as a result. And what fascinates and intrigues me and excites me the most about raw food is the fact that you don't get to be a master alchemist with cooked food. You know, at the end of the day, cooked food is food that has been chemically altered. The body doesn't fully recognize what it is. I mean, even just the humble jacket potato has at least 160 chemicals present that aren't present in a raw potato. And that's something, you know, very tame. It's just baked in the oven. So you can imagine what happens when you fry things. So when you take pure natural foods, it really is like bringing the purest, most precious ingredients into your body and seeing what magic the two of you can make and how that's going to facilitate a path of growth for yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually.
Great. That's a great answer. Now, Karen, there's so many different aspects of the raw journey, and I guess it does cover the realms of body, emotions, mind, and spirit. And we've certainly touched on a few body concepts. And what I wanted to ask, there was lots of questions actually came through from people around different aspects of the physical side of what to eat and what not to eat, what sort of kitchen utensils such as dehydrators and juices, what to actually use. And I know you've got some great resources that would really help people answer some of those questions. I was just wondering if you could actually share with people that resource now, and then we'll start exploring the emotional and spiritual aspects of the raw journey as well.
Sure. Well, the best place for people to start is with the e-books that I wrote, and I basically brought just about everything I know about getting started from literally scratch into it, and it's called How to Get Started with Raw Foods. So it really does what it says on the tin, and that's on my website, therawfoodcoach.com, or you can go direct to howtogetstartedwithrawfoods.com and you'll find it there. There's also 50 recipes, so if you go to 50recipes.com, you'll go straight to the 50 recipes ebook, which is recipes that you can make in under 10 minutes, because as I said, I'm all about quick and easy and delicious. I just found that's been one of my biggest secrets, where other people have made raw food into a long, drawn-out process and given up after a few days. You know, it's just that's not feasible for most people, so I'm really passionate about giving them delicious recipes that take no time whatsoever. And, you know, once you get the hang of that, which obviously takes no time at all, then you think, well, hang on, I spent like 30 minutes watching a pot of rice boil or minding the pasta or whatever it was. You never have to juggle cooking times ever again. You just press a button and there you are. So I love it. It's very efficient.
Brilliant. Excellent. So as I mentioned in the intro as well, I've been doing this experiment. I decided to actually really understand what raw food was all about, that I was going to commit to a 3-month process of actually only exclusively eating raw foods. And I'm probably around 3 weeks into my own raw food journey as we speak. And I guess the things that I've noticed so far, like in the first week, it was absolutely awesome. Like I was sleeping less. I had bundles of energy, just was literally all over this place trying to jump up and down, and I was loving it. And the interesting thing that popped up for me after about 7 days was like a real detox process. And I've done lots of different detoxes before, but most of them tended to be very physical in nature. But I guess the thing that made this detox process more interesting was it seemed like it was very much linked into my emotional well-being. And there's probably a period of 3 days where literally all these emotions were releasing in my body. I'd be blissful one moment and then literally at rock bottom the next moment. And it was just fascinating just to be really present to it and just watch all that unfold and release from my body. And I was just wondering, Karen, if you could actually share some insights into that emotional path. Was that something you experienced yourself? And is it something that you see revealing in your clients as well?
Yeah, it's a brilliant question, and I'm so glad that you shared what happened with you, because a lot of people, when they have that happen, and I definitely was one of those people, you know, I just didn't know what on earth was going on, because I was thinking, God, I just wanted to lose a bit of weight and have a bit more energy, and now I've got this emotional roller coaster. And you know, in the raw food world, it's just known as emotional detox, which you pretty much said. And basically what's going on is that we do store emotions in our physical body. You know, that's why EFT has become so popular, because people are realizing that different parts of the body hold emotions, and to free them up you need to release them somehow. What happens with the raw food path is that, of course, you're basically purifying from the cellular level out, and so there is a ripple effect. And because we are multidimensional beings, we're not just our body, the kind of next body that's just outside of the physical, if you like, is the emotional body. And so there's a ripple effect. So when we start to clean our bloodstream up and we start to purify physically, it will by default start pushing up emotion. And it's not that the raw food is necessarily pushing it up so much as the fact that we're not using cooked food to push it down. Mm-hmm. Because the body, whichever body you're talking about, the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, is always striving to be its most healthiest expression. But we, as human beings, we all know this, we're awesome at self-sabotaging and holding ourselves back. And we do this on the physical by eating junk foods or heavier foods that will suppress our emotion and will stop us from being free and feeling totally alive. It sounds perverse, but we all do it. And so what happens is when you stop using food in that way, the emotions will naturally start to surface because that's just the nature they need to come out. Because at the end of the day, we're trying to create vibrant health here, so it makes no sense whatsoever for the body to hold on to toxic emotion because it's going to be just defeating the purpose. So the body is infinitely wise, and it will detoxify physically, and in the presence of negative emotions, those emotions will also start to be detoxified so that the whole organism on all those levels can become purer and cleaner so that the human spirit can experience more and more of its vibrant, authentic self. So, you know, pretty huge concept, but really that's what's going on.
It's really, really interesting. And we actually had lots of questions that came in on the whole aspect of emotional, the emotional part of the raw food journey as well. I just wanted to actually ask you a question from Maitreyi. I hope I actually pronounce that correct. It's Maitreyi from Gibraltar. And Maitreyi asks, how does one overcome the emotions that are attached with certain foods? I mean, really get to the root of the problem rather than just avoiding it, like taking a walk or a bath when a craving hits.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't really want to take a bath or a walk when a craving hits.
It's more like, oh, that pizza.
I just want to eat it. It's a great question, and what I have found is that, first of all, you need to isolate each individual food because you need to know exactly what you're dealing with. And so, you know, a common example is bread. Bread is one of the most addictive foods for people, and some of that is because there's, you know, a lot of wheat sensitivity and allergy among the human race as a whole, because wheat is fairly new to our food chain, relatively speaking. And also wheat contains opioids, which actually sedate us and numb us out and, you know, all the things that most humans want when they've had a busy day at the office or just have had enough, you know, stressed, etc. And so that's why things like toast and pasta and sandwiches and bread in any form, wheat in any form, becomes so kind of commonplace, because people are always looking to numb out or slow down because of the fast-paced life that we're living. And so when it comes to someone getting to the bottom of what it is about a food that's kind of holding them back, there's a lot of different aspects to look at, and the kind of addiction sensitivity is one area. But aside from that, which is obviously the physical component, there is usually a very strong emotional component. And so what I encourage people to do is literally sit down with pen and paper and create like a few columns on a page. And on the first column, they'll list out each of the foods that they feel they want to give up but are struggling to give up. And then next to each of those foods, and drinks as well, actually, because there will be drinks in there sometimes, they write next to that food all the associations that they have with it. And so they can be things like feelings, sensations, memories, attachments, because we all have different stories around our food. So, you know, to one person, bread might be comforting, relaxing, tasty, blah, blah, blah. You know, they'll have their own set of adjectives to describe it. Another person might see it completely differently, and they just connect bread with happy childhood memories or certain things. I mean, pizza is a big one, because almost everyone has positive associations with pizza because it's a very sociable thing to do. So pizza becomes about friends and love and celebration and good times and laughter, when actually at the end of the day it's just a pile of white flour with, you know, some malty cheese on top. But, you know, it's amazing what we do. There's also cultural stuff. I mean, I'm fortunate. I didn't grow up with a whole ton of stuff around rituals and cultural beliefs or anything around any of the foods that I eat, but there are some people that I coach who come from a very religious background or a particular culture that has a lot of rituals and festivities around food. And then they have all that ball of wool to untangle as well, because they feel that they're kind of doing something to the family that is going to upset the family because they're choosing to eat differently. So it's different things for different people. But when people can get clear on what exactly these issues are, then they can start to look at those things one by one and go, okay, what else could I eat that's raw that would give me these same feelings or these same experiences? And, you know, I really do believe there is an answer for every single thing, because, as I say, raw food is so diverse now that you can find your raw equivalent somewhere. Mm. And, the next step on from that actually is to take food completely out of the equation. I mean, this is a certain level of mastery in a way, because most of us need to kind of upgrade our food first before we can bring food out of the equation. But normally people will find it's not really the food they're craving, but the experience or the feeling that that food initiates or sustains.
Mm.
So when they can separate off the food from the feeling, then they have the opportunity to take food out of the equation and choose more healthy ways of expressing themselves that don't involve food. So, you know, if they do want to numb out and relax, well, don't eat bread. Just go and sit down on the sofa for 10 minutes and read a magazine. Don't feel you have to eat toast in order to give yourself permission or to create a situation where biochemically you absolutely must rest, because then you're taking away your precious life force energy when you could actually be putting it to much better use.
Mm. That's really good. I actually really resonated with the whole notion of cultural influences in food. And I guess growing up as a red, hot-blooded Aussie male, the whole notion of actually stop eating meat was massive for me when I personally turned vegetarian around 9 years ago and had the awkward task of actually explaining it to all my mates.
Yeah,
and, I just have fond memories of actually returning back home to Melbourne in Australia after turning vegetarian in London, and just so happened that one of my first social gatherings was a barbecue with some friends back in Melbourne, and they actually saw some vegetarian patties that I'd brought along and just refused to cook them.
Yeah.
It is amazing the things that actually pop up, actually, when people do things that are outside of the cultural norms. And I guess one of the things I found really refreshing is it actually really strengthens you as a person when you can actually really connect with what you believe in and be comfortable with actually going against what most people are doing. Something you found as well, Karen?
Oh, hugely. I mean, I resisted it for a very long time, I have to say, because one of the kind of things that I grew up with was I don't want to be different. I remember from a very young age at school that I did feel different to other kids, and I didn't know why. And, you know, anyone who's ever felt that will know it's not a great feeling, especially as a kid, because when you're a kid, you want to just be part of the group. And, you know, it was never that I wasn't part of a group. It's just that all the time I was part of the group, I felt different. And so when I reached my late teens and then went vegetarian, it was like, oh, no, here I am being different again. And then when I went raw, of course, I mean, you don't really get more different than that. And I felt I may as well just walk around the streets with a tattoo across my forehead saying weirdo, you know. But my inner guidance system, everything about the real me was saying this is the way to go. It was just that on the outside world, everything was telling me I was crazy. And so I oscillated between these two beliefs about myself for 5 years. There were periods where I went 100% raw for weeks or months at a time, and I felt, as you described, you know, blissful, an extra 2 hours in my day, unlimited energy, much more positive about life, anything seemed possible. And then I would go to a social event or hit some kind of wall, whether it was emotional or something, and I'd go back to cook food, and there was the novelty of the return for a while, and then I would feel blur again, and I would go, why do I think it's going to be different this time? You know, every time I eat raw food, I feel amazing. Every time I eat cooked food, I feel worse. And all this is about is the fact that everyone else around me is eating cooked food, so I think that must be right. But my real life experience is showing me that it isn't what's right for me. And so, as you say, it was super strengthening because I had to, at the end of the day, after 5 years of yo-yoing, just put up both my hands and say, you know what, this is my truth, and I just can't deny it anymore because this pattern isn't changing. There hasn't been one time where I've gone back to eating cooked food and felt better for it. So this is not an anomaly. This is a fact. And it was when I kind of just came to a place of peace around that that my journey really escalated because I really had now stepped fully into this new way of being and accepting that and making peace with myself. And actually then I did have a newfound sense of self-esteem and confidence in myself because it was like, yeah, the rest of the world might think that I'm a little bit crazy, but you know what? I feel extremely sane. And I have never felt more alive and more connected and more on the right path than I do. And then my personal journey became a lot deeper around, you know, what is the nature of truth and what is the purpose of our existence on this planet, because I really felt like I'd now tapped in to a way of being in the world that was very switched on to life.
I think the whole spiritual aspect is fascinating for me personally. And I guess for most of us, we have diets or habits that actually consume most of our life force energy, whether it's eating heavily processed foods or cooked foods or drinking alcohol or watching too much TV, that I guess as human beings, we don't actually get to experience what it's like to feel light and alive and actually have all that energy as a free resource to devote to something that really gets you excited in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really amazing to hear you share just the whole spiritual aspect of it and how it's come up, very much come alive in you when you made a stand for what you believed in.
Well, it does happen to everyone at some point because at the end of the day, on a spiritual level, you're eating light, and you know because your diet is plant based and because of the nature of plants and the way they bring in sunlight, chlorophyll, photosynthesis, all that. The more of that you bring into your physical, the more light you are becoming in every sense of the word. And when you feel that in your body, it does permeate through to every aspect of yourself. So you do feel lighter emotionally, mentally and spiritually. And that takes some adjusting to. There's no doubt about that. And that's why people tend to yo-yo between cooked and raw, because it really is like living in two different worlds.
Mm.
And people have to find their kind of balance and peace with that, as I did. But now, because there are far more people into raw food and more particularly people who are verbal about raw food, that no longer is there so much of the stigma that, you know, vegetarians used to have it, vegans used to have it, and now it's like the raw food people. And yet, you know, the raw foodists that I've met along the way have been the most amazing, fascinating, lovely people of any group of people I've ever met. And I really think that's because in many ways there's a kind of initiation that goes on when you do commit to eating a high or all raw diet, because you are saying yes to life, and you are saying yes to your own growth, and you are saying yes to basically putting yourself on a path of magic and mastery. You know, I really believe there's a lot of personal mastery that comes into this. But furthermore, you're really stepping into the flow of life, literally and figuratively, and you know that's a great journey because you don't necessarily know where it's going to take you, but you know it's the best ride you've ever been on, so you don't want to get off. Yeah.
Amazing. Now, I've got a question from Stephanie, which runs along the lines of the whole spiritual process that's at play with the raw food journey. And Stephanie's in the USA, and Stephanie asks, how do you handle being on a higher vibration than others? None of my family, friends, co-workers are raw, and I have so much more energy than all of them. Sometimes when I'm around them, I get anxious because I want to be doing something rather than just sitting around. Then I end up eating bread, chips, etc. because it mellows me out. But of course I end up feeling awful afterwards from eating those kinds of foods.
Mm. Well, that is, you know, part of the territory. And so there comes a point where you think, okay, do I want to keep compromising myself in this way? And it's not that you have to stop hanging out with those people, but you may spend less time with them. And you also look to upgrading every other area of your life. So you mentioned a few minutes ago about things like TV and stuff like that. Well, we nourish ourselves in many different ways, and obviously we've talked about physical nourishment through food. But I have found for myself and clients that I've worked with, you know, just about everyone that I've spoken to around the raw food journey, is that you need to upgrade your emotional sustenance, your mental sustenance, and your physical sustenance. So that means reading different types of books, meeting different types of people, creating new upgraded environments for yourself, which would mean your kitchen, your home, your workplace, where you spend your free time. Because again, everything is energy and people are energy, and you do become a lot more sensitive to different energies. And it's not about making anyone right or wrong. It's just about being aware that the energy that you're now living in or operating from is different to your old energy, and as such, you need to find other energies of a similar vibration to feel comfortable and not alone, and not that you have to compromise yourself. So it's really important that people find like-minded souls, whether it be on the internet or in real life. And in fact, one of my next projects is to set up a free social networking site where people can actually arrange to meet each other offline, because there's a lot of great raw food forums out there for people to connect online, but what's missing is a forum where people can hook up online but meet offline. And so that's my next project, because I'm just so passionate about enabling people to meet, you know, like-minded souls, because it can feel very lonely if you don't know other people like that, and that's a crying shame, because when raw foodies get together, they have a blast because they feel like, oh, thank God, I found someone who actually gets what I'm about and speaks my language, and when I sit down to eat a meal with them, there's not 100 questions and, you know, a mixture of fascination or ridicule, because it's a very mixed bag. You know, some people will be in awe at what you eat, and other people will be just thinking, you know, you have some kind of eating disorder. And it's weird, you know, because I think you could take any random person off the street and ask them how they feel about what they eat and the way they eat, and do they have any issues around food, and you would be very hard pressed to find someone who didn't have an issue around food. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I eat too much, I eat the wrong stuff, I know I shouldn't, but I do, I drink too much wine, blah, blah, blah. You know, very rare is the person who is perfectly at peace and in harmony with their food choices. And yet, I am one of those people, and my God, does it give you even more energy, because you're not wasting energy lamenting or feeling guilty about what you're eating. You're in integrity with your choices. You're not eating something and then feeling bad about it. You're eating something and feeling really good about it, and it makes complete sense. The more you look at it, the more you think, yeah, you know. And I often think that if aliens landed on the planet and checked out the diet of people, they would run off laughing, thinking, you know, what on earth are they doing, these people? They call themselves an intelligent species, and they're eating the most ridiculous things. And that was me. I mean, I used to eat complete rubbish, and yet, you know, I actually have a genius IQ, but I was making rubbish food choices and thinking I was intelligent in doing that, because I really believed that food and health weren't connected, which is idiotic, actually. But, you know, that's the journey that I've walked, and so I totally get what the average person on the street thinks about raw food and how they would perceive it, but as you said, at the end of the day, you have to suspend your judgment and just dip your toe in the water and put yourself through the test and see, you know, if what people say is true.
That's really, really powerful advice. Now, Karen, we're coming up to the end of the hour, and I have no doubt that people listening on the call this evening have really, really resonated with your message, and are just keen to actually go deeper into the exploration and the play with raw food. And I know you've got some incredible resources for people. I know you mentioned some earlier on. And I'm just wondering if you could actually share some ways that people can actually deepen their raw food exploration, and also how they can get to know you a bit better and find out more about you and the actual work that you do in the world.
Great. Well, the first place to go is my website, which is therawfoodcoach.com. And there is a lot of information on there, a lot of great free stuff. You know, I'm very passionate, obviously, about what I do, and I give a lot away for free because I really don't want there to be any barriers between people and getting the information. And then in terms of regular news and updates and inspiring articles along the lines of what we've spoken about this evening, I publish an e-zine every week called Successfully Raw. Again, you can sign up on the website. You can go straight to the sign up at successfullyraw.com. And there's recipes in there every week as well. So if you want to kind of get a feel for the types of recipes that I make that are all 10 minutes or less, that's where you can find them. And you also get 10 recipes when you sign up. And also an MP3 recording with the 15 most common challenges about going raw. So again, you know, a lot of the practical stuff that we've talked about this evening and a lot more on that. I've mentioned the two ebooks already, which again are on the site, but the other one that people might like to check out is if they go to karennola.tv, that will take you straight to my YouTube page, where I have a fair amount of YouTube clips, which are both food demos, and there's a series of four clips there, which are the 10 most commonly asked questions about raw food. And again, they literally are the 10 most commonly asked questions. Mm. There's going to be a lot of information on there that people will find very useful, I'm sure.
Great. And if people actually wanted to work with you personally, I know that you offer coaching and also have a series of coaching programs as well. And I was just wondering if you could actually share a little bit more on that as well.
Okay. Well, to be honest, right now it's a bit chock-a-block, but if anyone does want to work with me, the best way forward at the moment is actually to send us an email here. My assistant Katie will definitely take care of you. I mean, obviously it's a testimony both to the amount of people that are getting into this and the kinds of programs that I'm putting out. You know, they sell out very quickly, which is obviously great for all concerned. But I'm actually teaching my final ever Raw Food for Beginners class this coming June in Cambridgeshire. And I've been teaching this class for nearly a decade, and it is like my swan song, because I'm actually going to be finding a replacement teacher this year. And so it really is my last ever live class. And we've got about 20 places left right now, but these classes always do sell out. So if any of you do want to come and meet me in person and taste the food and that famous pizza, which actually was on GMTV back in 2002. We had a live gig there with Lorraine Kelly and Dr. Hilary Jones. That was really cool.
Wow.
The same pizza can be served to you by me in June. And, you know, it'd be great fun, obviously, to meet some new people there.
Great. And just in terms of the, like, I love the quote, when one door closes, another opens. So I was just wondering what actually lies ahead in your work as well, Karen.
Well, you know, yeah, I'm conscious of time here. But basically, what happens with raw food is that the cleaner you get, the faster life tends to move, and the more you shift and the more magical it all becomes and so on. And so because I'm 16 years in, and because I'm definitely on my path, There is a real kind of speed to what goes on here. And even the growth that I've had the first 4 months of this year has been mind-blowing to me. And so it's interesting, because I've always been very goal-orientated, especially being a coach, and I always have had very firm ideas about what I want to happen. At the moment, I feel like I'm going through a big period of change and shift, and I feel like I only know about 25% of the picture. What I do know is that I want to travel a lot more and speak a lot more live to bigger audiences, and I also want to create a lot more home study programs, because the programs that I have devised have been so powerful and life transforming that I really want to reach more people with those. And then the other part that I really know I want to do is TV, because I really feel that people are ready now to have food presented to them in a way that is fun and delicious and healthy, because, you know, it's no secret that the overall state of people's health in the Western world is on the decline. And a lot of that, of course, is down to food. And it's down to the fact that we are trying to build vibrant health on inferior product. And it's really as simple as that. We, as I say, we just are really quite silly sometimes. We think we can eat junk and feel amazing. Mm. And it's just not true. So I really feel there's space now on TV for someone who is, you know, very into the healthy side, but isn't the stereotypical idea of what people consider, you know, a health food person to be, because, you know, there's the labels like health food nut and all that. And I just think people are ready now for an intelligent approach to food that is still fun and delicious and all those things that we want food to be, but at the same time actually delivers results and makes us feel better. So that's where I want to be.
Great. That sounds very, very exciting.
Cool.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for sharing your wealth of inspiration and knowledge and ideas and experience on the call this evening. I know for me personally, I've taken a tremendous amount away for myself, particularly given my early stages of my own raw transformation. And I have no doubt that you've really touched the hearts and minds and spirits of people that have been tuned into the call this evening as well, from wherever they are listening in the world. And also just wanted to really acknowledge you as well for not only just sharing the last hour with us and being so generous with your time, but also for having the courage to sort of pave the way for so many people around the world to move into a more vibrant and energised way of living. I have no doubt there would have been lots of challenges along the way over the last 16 years, but the fact that you've found your path and committed to it and now a shining light for other people in the world, I just really wanted to acknowledge you for that and just say that you're an inspiration as well.
Oh, thank you. I'm really touched. I'm really, really touched. Yeah, it's all been worth it.
Great. Now, just to close, Karen, I was just wondering if you had any closing words of advice for people that are contemplating maybe integrating more raw food into their diet and their way of being.
Well, the most important piece is for people to take it at their own pace and to fully own the journey as their own. What can happen sometimes is that people start learning from other people and try and eat the way they eat or read their book and think, oh, that's the way. What has really worked for me is always remaining like in charge of my own journey and not giving up my power to someone else's idea of what I should be eating or how I should be doing things, because at the end of the day, your body is your guru. That will give you the feedback that you need, and the more you clean up your diet, the more strong and audible that voice will become to you, and you'll be amazed actually at how quickly you'll find that you're actually kind of getting messages from your body telling you what works and what doesn't. And that in and of itself is an awesome and exciting journey, because most of us are very, very out of touch with our bodies and have no clue that it even has a voice. So when you start to feel that voice communicating to you about what to do and what not to do, that is a reward in and of itself. And have fun, you know, with this. As I say, a lot of people think raw food is very boring, but the irony is there's nothing boring about it at all, because you get to live life to the full, and that is far from boring. So, you know, just enjoy the journey wherever it takes you. And if you feel that it resonates for you in your heart and your head, then you have all you need to get started, and there's a wealth of information out there for you.
Cool. Great. That's really sound advice, Karen. Well, that brings us to the end of the call. Now, for those of you listening at home who would actually love to listen to this recording again, it will be made available on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website tomorrow for you to download. And I have no doubt that the people in listening to this call will actually have friends and family that are interested in health and well-being and could really benefit tremendously from listening to this recording as well. So do share it with your friends and family and make this recording available to them and inspire them to a new possibility. Thank you, Karen, once again, and thank you to everyone at home for your questions and your participation. It is an inspiration to me, and it's great to receive your questions and feedback in every single week. So it's great that we can have these conversations and come together and share more inspiration and light in the world. So just wanted to acknowledge you all for being a magical part of this process.
Me too. Yeah, thanks everyone.
Cool. Thanks, Karen.
Okay.
And good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.